It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good because here we find real comfort. We find real comfort in the Word of God. It's the only thing that endures. It's the only thing that lasts in this life is God's Word. And we're all gone. If this world is still spinning and Christ has not returned, this word will be just as sure after we leave this life as it was when God opened it to us and before then. This is the Word of God, and this is where we find comfort. I've been praying a lot today about the message and asking God to give me a word of comfort for you, a word of comfort in your time of trouble, your time of grief, and I believe the Lord's given me one. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We'll try to get through the six verses that are here. Be focusing on the first verse mainly for a while. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, read verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. Now here the wise man Solomon sets out to declare all this. And what he means by all this is all that he had stated. He is summing up all he had stated in chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 16 and verse 17, he said, "When I applied mine heart to know wisdom, to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet he shall not be able to find it." As he beheld the business that is done under the earth, Solomon in all his wisdom could not see the work of God which is done in providence. He could not fully understand God's providence. In chapter 8 and verse 4, he did acknowledge God's providence. Look at this in verse 4. He said, "Where the word of the king is, there is power. There's power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou?" God, who is king and sovereign over all the works of the creation, he is, and he shall do according to his will. Why? He is king. Where the word of the Lord is, where the word of the king is, there is what? There is power to accomplish what he has decreed. He is king. If you were to go to Psalm 47, I believe it's verse 5, but he says God is king over all the earth. God is king over all the earth. This thought of God as absolutely sovereign should move every one of us to awe and reverence. God is king. God reigneth over all things. He is absolutely sovereign to do whatsoever he wills. To know that his word is king, and he had brought forth the universe simply by speaking. Can you imagine? We speak and what happens? Nothing. God speaks and the whole world, the creation was made by the sound of his voice. He is king over all things. to know that by His Word, He alone gives life and brings death. By His Word alone. In verse 8, He says, "There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath power in the day of death." There is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Do you realize this, that God has all power of life and death? God controls all things. He is king. In Deuteronomy 32, 39, He said, "See now that I am He, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal." Seeing that this truth that God, that we must then understand this, that all things that happen, all things that happen in time and eternity are according to the word of the King, according to the will of God. All things that are decreed by God from eternity, God does not make up things as He goes along. That's how we plan things here. We make them up as we go. God does not. Everything that is happening now was determined before in eternity to take place. He does not change His eternal decrees because they are perfect. They are perfect. I am the Lord. I change not. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, this should comfort you. He says, "Therefore, because I change not, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." God's will, God's decrees are eternal. He said in Isaiah 46, He said, "I'm God and there is none else," declaring the end from the beginning. From ancient times, the things that were not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." He alone knew the end from the beginning. This day surely has taken us by surprise. The comfort is, this day was not a surprise to our Lord. It was ordered. It was determined. God decreed it. Therefore, what? It came to pass, even as God determined. He has ordained all things after His own counsel of His own will. And this should give every believer comfort. In Ephesians 1 and verse 11, it says, "In Christ, in whom we also, we the elect, the redeemed by His blood, the called according to His purpose." Listen, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to what? The purpose. The purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. This thing that Solomon saw, that God is king and His word has power, this should not disturb us. This should comfort us. The purpose of God for His elect is to save us. To save us. The purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. This is Solomon's wisdom that he found out concerning the divine providence of God. And so it is with the election of God's people, so it is with all things that happen in time. All things that happen in time are according to His purpose. His purpose. He is right now, through the actions of His people, through the divine providences of time, and even through the actions of the lost. He is working out His sovereign will. He is doing all things after the counsel of His own will. That's what's happening. What then is His will? If the king has all power, and with the word of the king comes power, and His purpose is always accomplished, it's important for our comfort to know what His purpose is. His purpose is simply to save His people. All of this is happening so that God should save His people. Remember when Christ was about to go to the cross and He was praying that high priestly prayer. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." And what was the reason that all power was given Him? That He should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given Him. Everything in the purpose of God is moving in perfect harmony with history and with the present and with all things, all future events. It is moving toward one purpose: to save His people. To save His people. That's God's purpose. Yet as Solomon looked at the business under the sun, knowing that God is king and in His word is power, he said in verse 17 of chapter 8, look at this, he said, "Then I beheld the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun." A man cannot find out this work that's done. He cannot, by his searching, by our finite wisdom, understand how the providence of God works toward the salvation of His people. I do not understand how the death of my brother is going to work toward the good of His people. I don't know. I know it will. But you can search and you can look at providence and you can try to find it out. Solomon said you can't. You ain't going to figure it out. We look at circumstances of time. What do we see? We see chaos. We see random events. We see tragedies. We see victories. We see men that are born rich and they become poor. We see men that are born poor and they become rich. We see the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper. We see the gospel of Jesus Christ hated. Can you understand that? Can you fathom that? That men would oppose themselves of God's mercy and grace that is found in the most lovely man that ever existed? Can you imagine that? I can't understand that. They do. They do. They hate it. Mighty kings are overthrown by weak ones. You have strong leaders and all of a sudden weak leaders take over. Can you understand why that is? You figure that out? Wicked kings, wicked leaders, they oppress the good and exalt the evil. Can you figure that out? How that's going to redound to the salvation of God's people? Why is there such injustice? People commit crimes all the time. Leaders commit crimes all the time. They're never punished. And people who commit no crimes are punished. You figure it out. There's no justice. No real injustice in among men. And you figure this out. Some children are born with illnesses. What a sad thing that is. You see a child being born in the world. How's that working toward the good of God's people and the calling? I don't understand. Some are born healthy. Some children die in infancy while wicked men live for years and prosper. Now listen, we could look for all kinds of reasons. We can apply ourselves to try to know this, but the wisest man next to the Lord Jesus Christ applied himself, and he said, you ain't going to find it out. Stop trying to figure out how this is going to work out. So then let us learn what God is teaching concerning his providence. I want to learn what God is teaching. I want to learn what God is teaching us by this. Because he is teaching. He is teaching us this by his providence. I want us to learn what God is teaching us concerning his providence and how this should comfort his people. How it should move sinners to repentance. Because that's what it does. Remember, all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are called according. I want to learn something about that. Solomon in these verses declares to us a principle of comfort. A principle of comfort. Of divine wisdom concerning the providence of God. And that's what I want to give you tonight. A principle of comfort concerning the providence of God. A principle of comfort that's here. He says, I considered all this. He considered all the divine providence of God. And this is his conclusion. He said, look, you ain't going to figure it out. You ain't going to learn how that this affects this and how this affects. You're just going to lose sleep. Your eyes not going to be able to sleep if you try to figure it out. This is the conclusion. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare this. Listen, here's the comfort. That the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. Now this principle of comfort is directed to certain persons. It is not comforting to all. The providence of God is not comforting to all men. It is comforting to these men. To those who are righteous and to those who are wise. To those who are righteous and to those who are wise. First of all, the righteous. What do I mean by righteous? Listen, I mean someone who is completely without sin. Isn't that a righteous person? A righteous man is one who has no sin. He is free from sin. He is a man that can stand before the strict, absolute justice of God and be found innocent. That's a righteous man. That's a righteous man. He is one that God says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. That's a righteous man. Now then, is there any righteous man among us? Is there any here righteous in thought, in word, and deed? Can any of us say that we have kept the law of God perfectly? The answer, the honest answer is no. No. The scripture hath concluded this. In Romans 3, it says that there is none righteous. Is that not plain language? I love plain language. Don't you? I love it when it's plain. Men will try to excuse that away all they want to. God said there is none righteous. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Just in case you misunderstood the first part, he summed it up. Not one. None righteous. None good. But this principle of comfort is speaking to all who have righteousness. How then could this give us any comfort? Because this is speaking to those who have the righteousness of God that is imputed and imparted to them. It is the righteousness of God that is imputed and imparted to them. If you go to Romans chapter 3, that very same passage that Romans, he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. It tells us how a man that is made righteous. He says in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Nobody's righteous by the law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But, here it is. Now the righteousness of God without the law. I like that. Without the law is manifest. Witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by what? The faith of Jesus Christ. You see how righteousness is made, don't you? You see how it's made? It's made by the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad my name is not put there. That wouldn't be true. Wouldn't be. I'm not made righteous by my faith. And neither are you. Righteousness was made by the faith of Christ. And then what happens? It says, but now the righteousness, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Unto all. Imputed to all. And upon all. Imparted to all them that believe. It's a wonderful thing to know this, that the righteousness, you who believe in Christ right now, this is wonderful. The righteousness of God was made and obtained by Christ alone. It was obtained by his faithful obedience to God. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became what? Obedient. Obedient. Even unto death. The Son of God did not need righteousness. Is that right? He did not need righteousness. He was always righteous. Yet he became a man so that he might procure righteousness as a representative. Jesus Christ, our Savior, obtained righteousness as a representative man. Adam was a representative man, and what came of him? Sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We sinned in Adam. And so as Paul continues in that Romans 5, he continues to say this, that even so by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many are made what? Righteous. You see how this text could be to you? You see how this could be to you? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, this text is for you. He has made you righteous. He has obtained righteousness for us. What kind of righteousness? Even the righteousness of God. Are you not astounded by that? That you who believe have the righteousness of God charged to your account? That you by Jesus Christ stand without sin in before the eyes of him who sees all? That you are as righteous as his Son? You see why we praise him? You see why we thank him? We praise him. We believe on him. He is our righteousness. But not only did he procure our righteousness, he also procured our redemption. What good would it be to give me a robe of righteousness without satisfying the justice of God for my sin that I did commit? So Christ came into the world not only to procure our righteousness, but to redeem us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us. How far did he condescend? It was not enough that he be made a man and to be made the least of men. the most despised of men. He must himself be made sin for us. Why? So that you might enjoy this text. That you might be made the righteousness of God in him. He died on the Calvary's tree without mercy so that you might obtain mercy. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree that you might bear his nature even in your own body. What a privilege he gave us. He bore our sins so that we might be made righteous. So then I ask you this, are you righteous? I'll tell you this, if you are in Christ, you are righteous. You are righteous. Listen to this. As he is. How is he? He is holy. He is righteous. He is without sin. He is accepted of God. How is he? Even so are we in this present world, given a righteous nature. A new nature. What a blessing. So this comfort's coming to you. Also, those that are wise. These who are made wise are made wise unto the salvation that I just described. The salvation that Christ obtained. Listen, those who are wise are made wise unto this salvation. In other words, this is a comfort to those who have experienced this saving grace of God. To you who have experienced this saving grace of God. To all who are made wise so as to believe on Christ through the preaching of the gospel. Friends, it's one thing to know the doctrines of grace in your head. I'm sure if you were to take all your children, they've sat under this ministry for here at this church for so long, they could spout out the doctrines of grace without thinking. I'm not talking about knowing the doctrines of grace. I'm talking about being made wise to the person of Jesus Christ. When the Spirit of God moves in power upon a soul and gives him life by the gospel of Christ, these doctrines are not just cold doctrines to be memorized. In fact, they glow with life. It seems that when we come to faith, we come to the person of Christ. We come to a knowledge of Christ, not just a knowledge of in our head, but an experience of grace. We know him. We know Christ. It's there. His work becomes personal and effectual to our souls. When I was a kid, I knew the doctrines of grace long before the Lord ever saved me. I was a little Pharisee. I could run around to spouting these things out, confusing people, and the lost religious world, they didn't have a chance. But I was just as lost as they were. I knew of God's sovereign grace, but when he came, I knew that he was merciful to this sinner. I knew he was merciful to sinners, but when he came to me, I found out this. He was merciful to this sinner. I knew he died for sinners, but when he came to me, I knew this. He died for this sinner. This sinner. I saw that Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He exposed my sin. He made me to feel my need. If you're ever going to be wise, you have to know your need. You have to know the ruin of your nature, the need of Christ. And then by grace, he gives us wisdom to do what? Flee to Christ. Have you fled to Christ? This is This is not my wisdom. This is the wisdom he gives us. It was by the power of the Spirit of God he gives us faith in Christ. Now notice this, their works. He said, I considered in the providence of God that I can't figure it out. I'm going to declare this to comfort the righteous and the wise, those who are made righteous by Christ, those who have received Christ by faith. You're wise, and listen, their works. Their works. These are the works of worship, the works of praise, the works of thanksgiving, especially of faith and love. The work of faith and love. Everyone who is righteous and wise have these works, faith in Christ and love to the brethren. Matter of fact, in John chapter 3 and verse 23, he said, and this is the commandment. This is the commandment that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Do you believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ? Well, you have obeyed the truth. This is the work of everyone who God saves. They believe. They believe. They obey this commandment. Is this commandment grievous to you? Is this commandment grievous? No, to believe on the Son of God is not grievous. It is wonderful. It's grace. It's by mercy. And not only this, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. If you obey these commandments, guess what? That is evidence, John says, that we are in him and he is in us. This is the work of everyone who is righteous and wise. They believe on Christ. They walk by faith. Is this you? Is this you? Now then, if this is you, I want this text now to comfort you. I hope and pray the Lord will bless this to you. So then, in this text, it is for your comfort concerning the providence of God that we cannot see or understand by searching. We and our works are in the hand of God. This is your comfort. This is your comfort. If you are righteous, made righteous by Christ, if you are wise by the power of the Holy Spirit to believe on Christ, listen to this. Your works, your faith, your love, everything that is... Listen, this is your comfort. It is in the hand of God. This word for hand, you know what it means? Open hand. Is what it means. It means acceptance. It means acceptance. Don't you realize that your faith is accepted? Your love is accepted. You are accepted. You righteous. And you wise, all your works are acceptable. Isn't that what God purposed in the beginning? According as he had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, what? Open hand. Accept. In the beloved. You are accepted. This is your comfort, friends. You are accepted of God. His arms are open to you. Isn't that what he said? He said, awake, O sword, and smite the shepherd. And the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn what? My hands to the little ones. I will accept them. Because of what he has done. You are accepted in Christ. believer in Christ, we who have been washed in the blood of Christ, have his righteousness imputed, we have been accepted of God. I know this, your faith is weak, because mine is weak. I understand. Do you love him as much as you want to? Do you believe him as much as you want to? No. But this is your comfort. You are accepted. You are accepted. This also tells us that all our life is in his hands. Not only are we accepted by him, but we are in his hands. So Solomon says, now, no man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him. He now redirects us back to the providence of God. After he said he saw the providence of God, there's no way to figure it out. The king is in charge. He's doing what he wants to do. He has a purpose. And we know this. His purpose is to save his people. And so Solomon is giving comfort to who? God's people. To those that are righteous. To those who are made wise by the Spirit of God. To you who have faith and love. You are accepted. You are accepted. But I want you to understand this in providence, so that you're not confused. He said this: no man knoweth love or hatred by what's before him. In other words, listen to me. You will never know the love of God by providence, or the hatred of God by providence. You're not going to be able to see it. Why? You see the righteous suffer. Can you see the love of God in that? You see the wicked prosper. Can you see the hatred of God in that? You're not going to be able to determine who God loves and who God hates by providence. You are going through a hard time. You are going through a dark providence. That does not mean God hates you. Yet that's how we always think. If everything's going bad, we think somehow God's angry. God's upset. God hates me. If everything's going well, we say, oh, God must love me. You can't tell that way. You can't see it that way. Our experience and circumstance in this life, it may be good, it may be bad. Things do not always work for the physical appearance of good to God's elect. The death of our brother, does this appear good? Can you tell me how? You can't. It's not for us to understand. It's for us to simply believe the word of God. That's how you tell the love and hatred of God. By his word. Hold fast to his word. Look only to Christ. You want to know if God loves you? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, if you want to know the love of God, where are you going to find it? You're going to find it in Christ. You're going to see it in this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Therein is the love of God, in the giving of his Son. Did he die for you? Why? He loved you. What about this providence? What about this dark providence? Does it matter? Does that change the love of God? No, it doesn't. Our circumstances have nothing to do with the love of God. And just because we can't figure them out doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He does. How do I know? He sent his Son to be the propitiation for my sin. He sent his spirit into my soul crying, Abba, Father. And I know this, he loves me because he keeps me in the faith. Why are you still here? Why have not all the dark providences of your life driven you from this place? How many of you seen come in and go out because of providence? Well, if God does that, then I'm just not going to worship a God like that. And they don't. We do. I'm still here because he loves me. I'm still here because he gives me faith every single day of my life. He keeps me. I am in his hands. Who then shall pluck me from his hands? Who? Who? Who shall match omnipotence? Unfold the grasp of thy right hand and pluck the sinner thence. Who? No one. So no matter what happens in providence, we're safe. Safe. You don't have the wisdom to figure out what God's doing. All you need to know is this. All things. Now listen to me. I know your pastor before the Lord took him home. I knew this. He told you many times what all things mean. If he said it once, he said it 100,000 times. All things. He said, let me get deep. All things mean all things. All things. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, not just called, but the called, according to his, what? Purpose. You see what his purpose is? His purpose is to save you. His purpose is to keep you. And so all that he's doing that you can't understand, he is doing to save you and keep you. And so this dark providence that you feel, this sorrow that is inflicted upon you, listen to me, this is by the hand of God. Remember, power is in the word of the king. He's doing this. What's your comfort? He made you righteous. He made you wise unto salvation. You are accepted in the beloved, and you are in his hand. And you won't find out if he loves you by the things you see and think and feel. You will only know his love by looking to Christ. Are you in Christ? Then no matter what happens to you, you are loved. Now listen, if you're outside of Christ, I got no good news for you. Solomon in this text is going to get real dark, and he'll say, look, if you're outside of this, you're wicked, and you die, there's no hope for you. But all who come to God by Christ... I hope and pray that if you're not saved, that you should come now. That you'd believe now. And then this good news could be yours. This good providence. His providence is working for your salvation, isn't it? I pray that he would save his people. And then give us comfort and assurance to just trust him. Trust him. Isn't that what we have to do at this moment? Because we can't understand. I pray God bless this to you.